Mark?
Go ahead.
Call the Community Relations Committee meeting to order. We'll stand for the pledge.
It's 6:19.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Thank you. Roll call, Madam Secretary.
Mr. Hayter?
Here.
Ms. Kurtika?
Here.
Mr. Sill?
Here.
And I don't, Mr. Sampson?
I'm here.
Yep.
Everybody's here, good. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections. I don't think we have any. We'll move on to the public portion. Public portion is now open. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Is there anyone from the public? Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Hearing none, the public portion is closed. Move on to number six. You should have all received the minutes. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes of May 28th?
So moved.
Motion by Rob, is there a second?
I'll second it, and I'm Camille.
Seconded by Camille, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So approved. Moving on to number seven, contact information for elected officials for city website. I'll let you take this, Rob.
Yeah, during the... Mr. Chair, one second, because you broke up. So just, if you could just call the vote for all in favor of the minutes, because you broke up.
All in favor approving the minutes?
Can I say something, Ron? The only thing is, find out, like, I would not want my cell phone given out to people, because I use it. I would want to change my number to my home phone, where there's a, you know, voice message machine, so I could leave a message, I could get the message, and then return the call. So just, you know, if we're going to do that, just make sure you check with the people what number they want on the site.
Okay. All right. You're all set, Mark, right?
That okay?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, we'll get into that now, but as long as you have an accessible number, no matter which one it is, if you're happy with it, at least you're accessible whenever, so. All right, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I as a part of the Charter Revision Commission, we had received an email from a gentleman, Mr. Emery Ector, asking that that the elected officials and other officials in the city be more accessible and more responsive. I guess he's had trouble in the past with receiving responses. And to be honest with you, the only people that have ever contacted me for something as an alderman have been people that I know that are already have my contact information. So I see where he's coming from. So I would like to move to add an email, a derbyct.gov email address for not necessarily each elected official, but maybe each alderman and maybe a board or a commission have a general email contact information and have that information accessible on our website. So the voters and the taxpayers of Derby have access to contact us when needed, if they have a question or a concern.
Yeah, that sounds good. This fellow must have been from the third ward.
Yeah, I believe he is, yeah.
All right, any discussion, Camille? Just what you said?
I mean, for the aldermen and stuff, we all have our lists of our numbers. I'm just worried about the public portion, and that's why I'd rather have the public ones have whatever number you want, and only because I'm in my job, I get all these messages on my cell phone and everything, and that's why I would want this to come to my home phone.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that we have our personal contact information, our personal emails, or our personal cell phones put out there for the public. I'm suggesting that we have a derbyct.gov email address that we can access remotely, available in case somebody wants to contact us from our wards or from our, and if it's from a tax board member, for instance, citywide. Someone can contact them with questions or concerns.
That sounds good. Andrew?
So just for a point of clarity, last year, or I think actually maybe 2 years ago, Alderman Hyder, before you were on the board, we did offer this to all the aldermen and alderwomen. And believe it or not, I believe there was one, maybe two, who took advantage of the derbyct.gov and didn't. I think the contention at the time was they didn't want to have to monitor more than one email. The only other prohibition to it is that there is a cost for additional derbyct.gov email addresses. I will certainly get that queued up for you before the full board to find out exactly what it is per license. But there were members of your current board who were not in favor of having to monitor an additional email. So to your point about some sort of maybe centralized email or an email per ward or something might be the way to go. Or maybe you take a straw poll of the board to say who would actually want it and use it. Just from the experience of last time, the answer was a lot less than everybody.
Per award is another idea too, because then between the three of us, we'll always be on top of that too. But there'd probably be plenty of discussion at the full board. So, we got anything else on that, Rob? Or you want to put that in the form of a motion to move to the full board?
Yeah, I'd like to put that in the form of a motion to bring to the full board for consideration.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Information for elected officials. Is there a second? I'll second it. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Moving on to number 8. Now, tonight, this may take a couple of meetings, but tonight, this is for discussion only.
Hold on. Before we move on from that, do you want us to put together a list of how you want to do that so we can make sure that everybody's on the same page on that for the full board?
Well, I think the way it's going to be discussed at the board, we really can't make a list or a general direction to the whole board. Right now, it's a recommendation from our committee. So I don't know what you could put together without, you know, having it torn apart at the meeting or, you know.
I guess really the only thing that we can put together is having Drew come back with a price tag for each individual email address. I mean, if it's going to be too costly to have a contact email for each board member, maybe just have either one by each ward or maybe one that President DiMartino can monitor and distribute should questions arise from each ward. And forward those to our personal
emails.
But
also, how do you want to handle the other boards and commissions for the city too?
I guess that would be in the same light. I guess we'll discuss that as we next in 2 weeks when we get there. For instance, maybe the Parks and Rec can be distributed directly to the chairperson of that committee.
I have something to say too. Sometimes people's checks bounce. They're not good. If somebody wants to give you cash, why would we want to refuse it?
Camille, you're a little ahead of us. Wait one second.
Okay.
All right, Mark, you all set with the motion and everything?
Yeah. Okay.
We're okay on everything. I would just, before you go crazy, like I said, have Andrew draw that up for price and we'll know what we're talking about at the full board, and then we'll see what the board wants to do.
Okay, so I'll wait for whatever Andrew comes up with, we'll put it
in. I'll price it up for derbyct.gov addresses, but then we'll also look into, I know it's free to get Gmails, so maybe it's worthwhile for individuals to have their own Gmail that says, you know, Alderman1. You know, or Alderman Sill at, you know, I don't know. We'll look at some options, and the town clerk and I will put something together so you have something.
It's a good idea too, the Gmail. I like that idea.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Rob. We'll move on to number 8, cash payments to the city of Derby. This is for discussion tonight. And I think Keith is on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Keith.
Good evening. This is a new item that actually is coming out of the coronavirus situation. Throughout the state, many of the tax collectors started to question the need or the desire to continue to take cash, considering it's the dirtiest form of M1 being monetary policy cash. We're not talking checks, we're not talking any other tender. We're just talking actual bills. And what was happening was, especially when, you know, city halls were closed to the public, people have alternative means to make their tax payments. It could be a check by mail, it could be a credit card, it could be a debit card. So cash became the only item that required interactions between staff and the public. And cash and paper has been proven to be dirty. It hasn't been proven to spread the virus, but it started to lead to some other questions about cash and cash management. So while the tax collector and the assistant tax collector have asked that we possibly eliminate cash coming into the window, we started to look at it from some other lenses, right? We're going to dissect some pros and cons, lay them out to you at the next meeting. But tonight, we just wanted to get to the state statute that allows the legislative body of a municipality to eliminate the receipt of cash. In our discussions in the coming, probably next month, you'll see that we're going to kind of propose up to a certain amount that we continue to receive cash up to $30, $40, or $50, because there is some transactions in the city where someone's paying for a $10 birth certificate, and they may not want to write a check, or they may not want to use a credit card. In addition, we've done some analysis on the number of transactions, at least in the last two quarters, in which cash was the tender. There are some benefits if we eliminate cash from a time management perspective, but also cash is evil. Cash is where you tend to have any kind of fraud that may take place. It usually involves cash and the access to cash. So while the initial concept is being driven by the state and OPM, Office of Policy and Management, and other tax collectors due to Corona and the touching of money and exchanging money between people, there are some other benefits and there are some other cons to it. So tonight we just wanted to put it on the table, share with you the statute that allows it, and then next month we'll kind of come back to you with some quantitative and qualitative analysis and really do a presentation to you on the pros and cons, give you a recommendation, then of course it's your decision in the end. But this was just, I don't want to do that in one meeting. I think it's fair, especially for community relations, for you as board members to have a comprehensive understanding of what drove it, what the pros and cons are, and then a conclusion. So that's what I have, Mr. Sill, for this evening.
Keith, what would you say, like just taxes, what would you say the percentage comes in cash, just roundabout, what would you think?
Dollar-wise, of course, I didn't do it that way. There were 1,800 transactions where it was cash, where it was like paper bills. I'll quantify that, Ron, for next month.
Well, either how many transactions were cash out of how many, or...
Yep, we'll have that all for you in the analysis. We're going to have it to you by month, by dollar amount. And then the other thing that we're going to have, which is important, is a recommendation where if we're going to drive our constituents to using credit or debit cards, that we should consider picking up the transaction fee that now they bear. And all of this will be presented in a cost-benefit analysis, because what happens as a result of this, what would happen, is the amount of time for a clerk to deal with the cash, which is the longest period for a transaction, that would have savings on the tail end. So we're going to give you a cost-benefit analysis that includes manpower as well, Ron. But I will make sure that we quantify the transactions, not only in volume, but in dollars, and we'll break them down by month so you'll see how they flow.
Sounds like something I've been thinking about for a few years. You know that.
Yes, sir. You have. You've put that on the table, just as you did the four payments for cars. So we may be slow as a government, but we're going to look to improve. And what I will tell you is this Corona and us closing for Corona has really shaken the tree, and we've seen a number of efficiencies that we're going to come to you as a board for in July, with some structural changes that are going to improve operations and flow and have some efficiencies in manpower. So I'm excited about giving that to you in July.
Very good. Now, do we want to bring something informative to the next full board meeting, or keep this at a level for the committee just for one more meeting or so?
I would ask that you could mention it, that we're studying it, but I would like to the next committee meeting. It's probably going to be about 30 minutes in us presenting.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little more comprehensive. I'd rather us have that discussion.
We'll hold off. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody have any further discussion on this right now or questions?
No.
Camille, you're okay for now?
Yeah. The only thing is I'm going to tell you, though, no matter where you go, when you pay cash now, people, because of the COVID, they have gloves on. You make sure you have gloves. And they give you like a container. They don't touch your hand. You don't touch their hands. So it would be what you would have to do.
All things to look at. Thank you.
Wear the mask, too. You know, people, if it's something where you're going to meet the people face to face, they ought to make sure you wear your face mask. Okay?
Right. All things to consider. Thank you. Okay, that's our discussion on that for tonight. Thank you very much, Keith. Moving on to number 9, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Rob. Charlie, pretty quiet. You want to third that? I guess not. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thanks very much, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Everybody have a good night.
Everybody. Bye-bye.
The time is 6:35.